Without any further ado, let's go to probably one of the most controversial passages of Scripture contained in the Word of God, and it has to do with the qualifications of the office of bishop or overseer or pastor, and we're going to look at that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to share with you, I'm going to give you another minor Greek lesson tonight so that you'll kind of have an understanding of what is contained here, especially when it comes to some of the words that are there. The controversy, of course, that you see today begins all the way out as far as, and it runs the spectrum all the way from women preachers and pastors all the way through to whatever today, you name it, okay. There's every flavor, there's every type that you can imagine out there when it comes to those who are in the position of pastor of a church. And of course, the thing that comes into the back of everybody's mind is what is biblical and what is not. What is that is contained in the Scripture that we can drive a stake in the ground, and then those areas where it may not be quite as definitive as we would like. You know, sometimes I've had these conversations with others. It's almost like, well, you know, God, you could have given us just a little bit more detail. I mean, it would have been nice if we could have had just a little bit more detail. But I will tell you what, he's given us all the detail that we need. We have the Holy Spirit of God who points us and leads us into all truth. I guess that's why Paul told Timothy to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So it takes study. You have to study the word of God. It's not something that we can just approach flippantly. And just to do however we want to when it comes to Scripture, to understanding those things that are contained in the Scripture, especially when you come across more difficult passages. It's interesting in this letter that Paul has written to Timothy, because in chapter 1, Paul deals with some doctrinal issues. As you come into chapter 2, he deals with the behavior of public worship, of those things that should take place in public worship. And then he comes to chapter number 3, and he's going to deal with two specific offices of the local church. And let me just share this. There are only two offices of the local church, only two. One of them is pastor, and the other is deacon. That's the only two offices that we have contained in the Scripture for the local church, only those two, pastor and deacon. And so as Paul breaks all of this down for Timothy, one of the things that he's going to do in chapter number 3, of course, is he is going to deal first off and foremost with pastoral oversight of the church and the necessary qualifications of being a pastor. And let me tell you what, the only thing that I'm going to get through tonight is pretty much kind of just the tip of the iceberg. Right, I'm going to have to take this message and put it into two parts. I'm going to deal with it from a high-level view tonight, and then we're going to come down because I'm going to deal with two of the most controversial pieces in here. And I'll go ahead and tell you what they are. Not given to wine, and number two is the husband of one wife. And what does that mean specifically when you look at the context and the text of what Paul was sharing with Timothy? All right, and I'm going to share, believe it or not, there are multiple views concerning both of these when you come to this text. Matter of fact, there is about six different views as to what Paul actually meant in writing this to Timothy. And I hold one of those six views, and that's what I will tell you, okay? If you want to know which one I hold to, I will be more than happy to share that with you, okay? And to let you know that I love you, and you may disagree with my view, and that's okay. One day when we get in the presence of the Lord, you can ask him specifically and find out that I was right, okay? and we'll go from there, okay? I told you this morning, if you were in the service this morning, I said I was a know-it-all, okay? The toughest thing to have to do is to let someone know that you are wrong. So what I do is I tell them, well, you need to go write it down on the calendar, okay? Because it may be the last time. Now, the one that I live with and have for the over the past 41 years will tell you differently, okay? She knows me better than anyone else. And let me just say this. The subject that we're getting ready to cover in this particular letter that Paul wrote to Timothy is an important topic in every place and generation. Doesn't matter which generation it is. And let me just make this statement overall. The health of the church depends very largely on the quality, the faithfulness, and the teaching of its ordained ministers. And that is key to that. Because especially as you take the oversight of this particular body, or a body of believers, that should never be taken lightly. It should be of the utmost importance of everything that you do is to see to the health and the overall spiritual well-being of the church as a whole. And I will tell you, the responsibility of the pastor is to the spiritual oversight and well-being of those who make up the body. And that's what our responsibility is. There are two important points that I think that needs to be made at the beginning of this just to share with you tonight. And the first one is this. God intends for a church to have a pastor. That's what he intends. That's the way he designed it to be. Matter of fact, it was the ascended Christ who gave some to his church to be pastors and teachers. And it is the Holy Spirit who still assigns overseers to the flock of God. Matter of fact, if you just hold your place here in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and turn back to Ephesians chapter number 4, we'll see where even the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, as he shares this with the believers at Ephesus, and we'll start in verse number 8, and notice what he said, Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 8, wherefore he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now drop down to verse number 11, and here's what he gave. He gave some apostles, he gave some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So, it was God's intention that there be a pastor for each church as an overseer of the flock that God has placed there. Secondly, tonight, God has not specified the precise form which pastoral oversight should take. In other words, when he put some pastors and he placed them there, one of the things he did not give to us, he did not give us a how to be a pastor. And these are all the things you need to do. And this is the way you do it. And this is how you arrange your day. This is how you make hospital visits. This is how you deal with these situations. There is none of that when it comes to the office of pastor over a local church. Now, I will tell you what, we've come a long way today. And sometimes I think we've come too far. Because we've got some today who think they know more than what God knows or intended. And that's where you have to be careful. Just because of a lot of the tools that we have today does not mean that we know more than what God intended for us to know from the beginning. And so we have to be very careful. Don't ever think that we have come to the point that we have arrived. When it comes to pastoring a local church. I will tell you, and I've been at this for just a little over 26 years. But I tell you what, I've got two sitting in here tonight, three sitting in here tonight, that have been at this for a lot longer than I have. Dr. Io, Brother Huey sitting back here, and Brother Leo sitting over here. And I will tell you, they've been at this a lot longer than I have, okay? And I believe I could ask all three of them tonight if any of them have fully arrived and reached the ultimate goal of being everything that you could possibly be when it comes to being a pastor of a church. And I think they would all shake their head this way, okay? We have not. Just because of the significance of what God has called us to do or God has called us to be. What's interesting is you come to chapter number 3, the very first verse here in 1 Timothy. Just for an example, okay, this chapter lists the qualifications of overseers. The Greek word there is an interesting Greek word. It is episkopos. And it speaks of, if you look at verse number 1, this is a true saying, if a man desires the office of a bishop. The Greek word for bishop there is the Greek word episkopos, in other words, designating the office itself. So Paul said this is a true saying or a faithful saying, that the office of overseer or the office of bishop, one of the words that is used interchangeably in the New Testament is that of elder, overseer, and bishop. So as you think about the text here and as we look at this, as Paul relates to Timothy, he said, I want you to understand that this is a faithful saying. Everything that I'm getting ready to lay out for you is a true saying. It's a faithful saying that if a man desires the office of a bishop, in verses 1 through 7, he deals with the office of pastor. Verse 8 down through verse number 13, he deals with, of course, the deacon, of which we find the Greek word diakonos in verse 8 through verse 13, but here again he sheds little light on their duties of what they're to do. What he deals specifically with is the qualifications. Now let me just say this. Is there any man sitting in here tonight that is 100% qualified and worthy of that office? And I will tell you, the qualifications that are here for both the pastor and the qualifications for deacons are ones that the qualifications that are here, and let me just say this from my heart to you, okay? Some of the qualifications that are listed here can be difficult sometimes just because of the mere office in the position that it is. And let me tell you something. We strive by the grace of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit to be what God's called us to be. But I will tell you, we're human. And one of the things that's going to happen is at some point in time, sometime, we're going to let somebody down. Not intentionally. But sometimes it's going to happen. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 3, or starting in chapter 3, here's one of the things that I also want you to understand. Paul is not requesting that Timothy begin a new office in the church. Episcopate. It's not a new office. It's one that had been around, all right? Matter of fact, there were men that were serving in this capacity before Paul gave this or wrote this letter even to Timothy. Men had been serving in this role. Now, one of the things that I don't want you to do tonight is to confuse the office of overseer or bishop mentioned here with the ecclesiastical office of bishop that developed later. Matter of fact, it didn't even fully develop until the late second century, to where there is an ecclesiastical hierarchy, where a bishop has been put in charge or over many bishops, okay? Or where you have a pope that is over many cardinals and over many bishops. That form of hierarchy did not even begin until sometime in the mid second century and on after that. I don't think that was ever God's intention for the pastor of the overseer of the church. And let me just say this. A local New Testament church should be autonomous. What do I mean by that? We do not answer to any ecclesiastical hierarchy or authority but God himself. And Jesus Christ is the head, or should be. And never at any time should we answer to any governing body at all. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 14. And you'll see where men were already functioning in some of these different positions inside the local church. Acts chapter 14, and we'll look at verse 23. Of course, as Paul and them were coming down through Antioch and Iconium, and as they come down through this region, we get to verse 23, and when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Go to chapter 20, and let's look at verse 17 and verse 28. Verse 17 of chapter 20, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And then over to verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Overseers, episkopos, all right, of which we have in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1. All right, so let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And let me say this as well as we just kind of continue through here. The responsibilities of this office, the responsibilities of the office of overseer or pastor have to do with the oversight and the direction of the spiritual life of the local church. You must be fed. When you come to worship, as the pastor of the church, when you come sit here, you come expecting to be fed from the Word of God. The only way that you can be fed from the Word of God is if the pastor spends time preparing and seeking and spending time praying and searching through the leading of the Holy Spirit to prepare and then to offer to those that are here what God has laid on his heart. To be fed. It's important that the feeding take place. Now, is that the only time you should feed on the Word of God is when you come to church? No, it's not. It is not. That ought to be a part of our lives every day. And matter of fact, one of the things that ought to happen, even when you're here and I am preaching or speaking or teaching, you should be checking what I'm saying by the Word of God. Because once again, I'm a human being, and we all make mistakes, especially when it comes to some of those issues. Now, I will say this. There are times when interpretations of specific areas of Scripture, which do not affect doctrinal-wise what is there. For instance, I'll give you one, okay? I haven't met anybody yet who can go from Revelation chapter 1 all the way to Revelation chapter 22 and give you specifically, verbatim, in detail, exactly, specifically what God meant in every single word there. Ain't found anybody yet that can do that. They can share with you their interpretation and their thoughts. But I can tell you right now what John wrote, based on what he saw, using the language of that day, do we know for sure exactly what the 24 elders looked like that were around the throne of God? do we know exactly what it's going to be like and what it's going to look like when the seven-year tribulation hits on the face of this earth? I mean, everybody's got their opinions of what it's going to be. But the spiritual welfare of the church, let me tell you something. As a pastor, here's one of the things that we carry. We carry the burden of the entire church body. And when a member of the church body hurts, so do we. When you have a moment or time in your life where you can rejoice, we can rejoice with you. But we carry the burden of the entire church with all of its difficulties, with all of its joys, with everything that goes with it. But let me share something with you now. I wouldn't do anything else because I can't do anything else, okay? It doesn't matter. The joy that comes from pastoring a local New Testament church. And I will tell you this. I still talk to folks in Jacksonville, Florida. Matter of fact, I still talk to folks in Adel, Georgia. In Gulfport, Mississippi. Matter of fact, I have a praise I get to glory in the building that we built over there and all that was associated with that 32,000 square feet that we built over there. God left me there for just under 4 years to be able to enjoy some of it that we went through a 4-year process to get there. He allowed me to experience a part of it for just shy of 4 years. Well, we had a praise, okay? Matter of fact, they've been doing a countdown for me since February on paying off that building. Well, guess what? The 1st of August, they will make their final payment on that building. It'll be paid for in full, lock, stock, and barrel, okay? But to see God still at work in a church that you were once at and had pastored, let me tell you something, there is no greater joy for a pastor than to see a work that continues even after God moves him from that place. To see God at work, the church in Jacksonville, the church in Gulfport, okay, and Ascension Baptist Church. Let me tell you what blessed my heart was to hear that everything continued here just as it would have if I would have been here, including the business meeting. Matter of fact, some said, and we even had a business meeting without you here. Praise the Lord, okay? Because to be quite truthful with you, I don't like those anyway, okay? I'd lots rather have somebody else do them, okay? I mean, I got spoiled in Mississippi because I didn't have to moderate the business meetings. I got to sit on the pew, okay? But still, things continued on. And what Paul wanted Timothy to understand is you're not creating a new office here. Because the office of overseer or pastor had already been filled by others. These are the qualifications now that are going to be necessary for that office and to understand the qualifications of that office. What Paul stipulated was that those appointed to the office were to possess qualifications of commitment. It sounds like they're having a ball back there, doesn't it? Huh? All right. Four general statements, and we're going to go through them real quickly. I'm going to give them to you tonight, starting in verse number 2. Four general statements summarize the qualifications Paul listed in verse 2 through verse number 7. And I want you to understand, what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of hit these from a high note tonight, and then I'm going to come back in, Lord willing, next Sunday night. Here's what I'm going to do. We're going to take them, and I'm going to deal specifically with the husband of one wife and not given to wine. Okay, and there is a difference in the text between the qualifications for a pastor and the qualifications for a deacon. What is the significance of that when we look at it? But I'm not going to say any more about that. Let's go to verse number 2. So a bishop or an overseer then must be blameless. And oh, by the way, let me just go ahead and share with you, that does not mean sinless. Okay, that is not the context of that word there. The husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, and apt to teach. Now, I want to digress just a little bit. I want to go back up to verse number 1 because I want to look at another phrase up in verse number 1 specifically. And that's this phrase, if a man desire the office. And let me tell you what that means when Paul wrote that to Timothy. It means to stretch oneself out. It means to reach out for. If you're not called, do something else. If you can do anything else, do it. Because if you're not called, you won't last long. You will not stay long. And if you're not called, you will do more harm to the body, okay, than you could imagine. The calling has got to be very specific. There is no doubt in my mind of my calling. It's like it could have been written out on a piece of paper in front of me. And I fought it. I did everything I could not to go this route. Matter of fact, I enjoyed what I did. Matter of fact, I was one of those code guys. I could sit there all day long and code, okay? Computer programming, putting systems together. I love to take a business problem, build a model, put together a full functional description, code all of the background, code all of the front end, put it all together, deliver it to the client, watch them sit down, and watch it as it improves their business cycle. To me, it didn't get any better than that. Had a great job. Matter of fact, I'd finally reached the point that, listen, I had all the plans to retire at 55. And I was well on my way to do that. Could have. I had the position. I was the director of software development at Alltel for a new business unit on default mortgages. How many of y'all remember when all the default mortgages were defaulting left and right? Okay, Fannie Mae and them were losing millions of dollars every year as a result of all of that. And so there was a real problem. Okay, well, guess what? We spent 2 years of going through and analyzing that problem. And then spending another period of time to put together a functional description. And then for the next year, we did nothing but code that system. Now, in the meantime, while all of that was going in, there was this drawing away. And the more it drew this way, the more I pulled this way. And there was a drawing. And it finally got to the point, I found myself getting to the point that I hated going to Alltel. And I'm like, listen, to be honest with you, I thought I was going crazy. I thought I was losing my mind. The battle that was raging inside of me was a spiritual one. God's calling on me was just that significant in my heart. And I remember finally when the time came, I remember sitting in the parking lot looking at the river at the Alltel building and beating my hands on the steering wheel of my Ford truck and saying, God, if you don't do something right now, I am absolutely going to die. Well, guess what? When you tell God that, you better be ready for the answer, okay? Because that night when I walked in the house at 6:30, the telephone rang. We want you to come. We want to set up a meeting with you for you to consider becoming the pastor of this church. And I was like, and so it went on from there. So if a man desire the office, it is not something that, because I'm going to tell you something. Let me just share this with you tonight, okay? If you're looking, you think it's glamorous, okay? Just come spend about 24 hours, okay? You ever heard that phrase, the jack of all trades and the master of none? The first church I pastored in Adel, Georgia was a rural church. And guess who answered the phones Monday through Friday? Guess who made sure that everything was picked up and ready? Guess who made sure the lights and the air conditioning, the heat? You want me to keep going? Okay, I'll just keep lifting my hand, okay? But I will share this with you. I wouldn't do anything else. Would not have done anything else. Now, verse number two. I got to get to verse two. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, and apt to teach. That word apt to teach means able and skilled to teach. You see, the requirements in verse 2, or the qualifications in verse 2, are personal in nature. And the final two, hospitable and apt to teach, or able to teach, deal with relationships to others. Relationships are important. And you need to be able to deal with those relationships, no matter how difficult they may become. Matter of fact, no matter how hard they come. Because here's what you've got to be able to do. You've still got to be able to love them back. Here's what Jesus said. It's easy to love the one who loves you back. The more difficult thing is to love the one who does not. So they're all personal. The qualifications in verse 2 are all personal. And they're very important when it comes to the office of overseer or pastor. Verse number 3, not given to wine. No striker. In other words, I'm not a rebel rouser, okay? I'm not out there fisticuff with anybody, okay? And let me just say this. There is no room for that in the house of God, period. I don't care how difficult things become. If it's that difficult, then you need to exit until your heart gets right with God. It's quiet in here. Not greedy of filthy lucre. Not in it for the money. I hope you're not, because I'm 60 years old and I'm still at it, okay? And I've shared this before. People ask me all the time, said, so when you going to retire at 62 or at 65? I said, I'll retire when God's through with me. And not until. But patient. Not a brawler. And not covetous. The overseer of the pastor was to be obedient in observable behavior. And it doesn't matter where you are or what situation you're found in, you should be the same out there as you are in here. Now, I will say this. Folks talk about my hair all the time. Matter of fact, in Georgia, they used to claim that I own stock in Mop and Glow. They said you could stand me in front of a 70-mile-an-hour fan and my hair would not move. Okay. Well, let me say this. If you're on Facebook, if you look at some of the pictures that were posted, okay, I'm standing at the Central Texas Veterans Cemetery, and I will let you, some of y'all are going like this, you've already seen it. So for you to understand that it does move, okay, you can go out there and look at all of those pictures and see them all out there. But it's observable behavior. What is seen out there should be the same as in here, and what is seen in here is the same out there. And when we're seen as that, both Christians and non-Christians need to see commitment in the lifestyle of the overseer or the pastor. What are you talking about? I'm talking about testimony. I'm talking about integrity And I'm talking about character. All of those. And folks, listen to me. We live in a world today where that is so much needed. Across the board. Not just from the office of overseer and pastor, but all the way down through. There's not a week goes by now that we don't find in a church somewhere someone who is falling into, from a ministerial perspective, falling into some level of sin. Verse 4 and verse 5. The overseer is to lead his family well. One that rules well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Paul viewed leadership in the family as a proving ground for leadership in the church. I'll say more about that later. And then third, in verse number 6, the overseer needed experience in his Christian walk. Look at verse 6. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. A new or young believer appointed to a place of leadership could be blinded by a cloud of pride. It can happen very easy. And I'm going to tell you something. Just because we get an education, and a lot of people ask me, oh, you got your doctorate now. Oh, you're a doctor. And one of the things I shared with them, I want you to understand something. Had absolutely nothing to do with you. Had nothing to do with my name or anything else. It was strictly for my personal benefit of spending greater time going through a specific area and looking at the Word of God and providing for myself just some further insight into a specific area. Has absolutely nothing to do, because from y'all, I'm known as Pastor or Brother Robert. Okay? Whether that DR is at the end of my name, it doesn't change my standing with God at all. And that's what's important. And for you to understand that as well. And then verse 7. The leader needed the respect of outsiders. Look at verse number 7. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. These outsiders might not prefer his doctrines and morals. I just had that happen this past week. While we were in Texas. But they had to respect his integrity and his commitment. I can tell you right now, there were a lot of them there that did not agree with my doctrine. Okay? But I had several who came up to me and let me know that they appreciated the words that I shared. Now, whether or not it made any difference in their heart and life, I don't know. And I'll tell you what I shared with them. Thomas, when he asked Jesus, how in the world can we know where you're going? I said, all of you here can know where you're going when you leave this life as well. And Jesus answered that question for Thomas. And then finally, more is required of an overseer or a pastor than just mere willingness to serve. There's a lot there. I carry something in my Bible that I've treasured. Matter of fact, some have seen it. I have carried this in my Bible since 1978. Now, I will tell you, one of the things you need to understand about this is in 1978, I was in no position, nowhere close to a relationship with the Lord. This was given to me by a retired school teacher in Sumter, South Carolina. I still remember her to this day. And as I have changed over Bibles, the first thing I do is go pull this out and I put it in the new one. Because I periodically take it out. I remember sitting at the feet of her wheelchair. And here's the exact word she said. She said, God's going to use you someday. Don't know in what capacity, but he's going to use you someday. That was in 1978. I surrendered to the ministry after my salvation in 1990. It was 12 years later. here's what she said. And this is written on here. Any of you are welcome to come look at it if you want to. Dear friend of mine, there is no way in which I could address you with more sincerity of heart than just to say God bless you. My words could wish that all your cares would be a little lighter, and I could send you greeting cards to make your hours brighter. My lips could call good luck to you or whisper happy landing, and I could promise you the depth of faithful understanding, but I am sure no other thought or message would impress you as lovingly or lastingly as asking God to bless you. And so I say, God bless you, friend, in every good endeavor, and may His guiding grace be yours forever and forever. I periodically pull that out and read it. It's a confirmation to me of my calling and where I am. Miss Abby D. Bryan was her name. Taught school in Sumter County Schools for over 40 years. Her family took her to the nursing home and left her there. She never got a visit from any of them. And we looked forward to going to see her and get to spend some time with her. So I want to say from my heart to you tonight how much I love you, how I pray for you, and for your spiritual well-being, that we grow together in serving our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the kingdom and not for an earthly kingdom with my name attached to it, but a heavenly kingdom with Jesus Christ's name at the top of the list. Amen. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Let's just continue to